Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Believe You Me. And I appear that I'm frozen. Am I frozen right now, Anthony?
No, you're good right now.
Oh. Well, just be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in a hotel room. The light is awful. I look like I'm orange. And I'm probably going to freeze up quite a lot, but it's the best we can do. Anthony Smith, you are in Las Vegas. I am in Las Vegas. We're at the other ends of the strip. You're in a significantly better hotel room than I am. But other than that, how the hell are you?
I'm good, Mike. I'm happy to be here in Vegas and getting this fight week rolling. Yeah, it's busy. You got a lot of BT stuff. I got a lot of stuff going on with ESPN. You know, it's stupid as it is, we're so busy. We're in the same city.
I know.
And our schedules just don't match up. Even with the drive time, we don't have enough time to get it done in person.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. In fact, we could. Anyway, but I'm just laughing because it is ridiculous. It's a big fight card this weekend. I mean, that's all we've got to talk about, really. I mean, John Jones is finally back. I think you're talking to him, like, you're doing the round table, right?
Yeah, we're doing the round table, but not with John. It's just me, DC, Reyes, and Rashad. So,
right.
You know, I see, it's funny. You see a lot of comments like, oh, look, John Jones is getting his kids are all getting together. You know, but I think it'll be good, man. It's you know, some analytical minds. We're going to talk about our experiences, kind of what we've seen, what we feel makes him so good. And I don't think it's going to be as much a John Jones hating fest as everyone thinks it's going to be. I think it's more of an appreciation thing.
Well, I mean, the idea is when we're doing stuff like this, right, we're going to be real, we're going to be realistic and honest, but also we're trying to hype the fight up a bit as well. You know what I mean? And to be honest, if you do tell the truth about John Jones, you can only really say good things. Of course, outside the octagon, he's had some questionable behavior, and that's putting it mildly, you know. But if you're talking about the fight side of things, I mean, where do you start? I mean, he's as good as they get, really. You know, I mean, I said on the call last week that I thought he was the greatest of all time, and I got a lot of shit for that. But the reality is he's certainly one of them. He's certainly in discussion, and he's certainly got a very, very, very potentially tough fight this week. Who knows? It could be the easiest one ever. He might just take him down and control him and sub him or beat the crap out of him. Or he might get knocked out. And there's a legitimate chance of that. I'm telling you, Cyril Garn is a special guy. He's super, super confident. I mean, have you seen the pictures of John Jones right now? With his shirt off?
I have. To be fair, I'm trying not to be too critical because it's a new weight class, and I don't know that he's figured out how to fuel himself correctly or maybe how to eat correctly with this new weight he's got.
Yeah.
It's different, man. And there's been some times where I've gone through training camps at 205. Devin Clark is a really good example for me where I felt really strong and I was really fast and super mobile. But if you looked at my physique, I looked a little bit soft. I was a little bit soft in the belly. I've had a couple of those kind of performances. Even when I was in Brazil and I weighed in, people gave me a bunch of shit for how I looked.
You did this weight.
That's fair. But I mean, I wasn't like overweight or super fat. There was other things going on, but like I didn't look as cut as I've been in the past at 205 pounds. But I still felt fine, and like conditioning wise, I was good. Strength wise, I was fine. It's just sometimes you just get into these weird funks where maybe you've been off for a long time, and so you're not used to eating the way that you typically should be eating. So I'm trying not to be too critical of how he looks, but it looks very unnatural. And I think that's just we're not used to seeing him with the shirt off in UFC, you know, branded gear at 250 pounds. So I think it could be he's just getting used to this kind of new weight that he's at right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's not a bodybuilding competition. It's a fight. Right. And if you look at Tyson Fury, you know what I mean? There you go.
Right. Look at Daniel Cormier. He's never been a super lean cut guy.
Never in his gut. I don't know. You know, DC, I saw some pictures of him in college and he was ripped. He was an absolute
monster. He was in college.
He was a monster back then, but the diet went out the window. I mean, Tyson Fury, Fedor Emelianenko. He was always a guy that was never ripped. So the point we're making is it's not conducive or it doesn't necessarily relate to how good your performance is going to be by what you look like in the mirror. However, I will say this, and I'm not criticizing John, but as a fan, it's a little underwhelming. You go away, you got 3 years to make this comeback and 3 years to reinvent your body and all the rest of it. And who knows, maybe this is what he wanted, you know. But it wasn't the most impressive visual I've ever seen for someone coming back. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It's not what I expected either. And I'm really making a conscious effort to not be critical of it. But I'm having to make that conscious effort because at the eye test, I immediately thought, well, that's not what I expected.
There you go. That's a good way of summing it.
Yeah, like I'm trying to tell myself, okay, just because he's not super ripped and shredded and got all this extra muscle mass and looking like a freak doesn't necessarily mean that means anything when it comes to the fight. It's just that my initial reaction was, okay, that's not what I was expecting. But it also doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. No. So, I'm sure that it's bothering him, though. I'm sure that it's bothering him because at times it's bothered me when I went up and I'm trying to figure out my body's changing, my weight's different, my workouts are different. But it's kind of a self-conscious place to be in when you don't look the way that you're used to looking when you're sucking yourself down to a certain weight.
100%, because that's always – I mean, I posted something the other day when it was UFC, whatever it was, 2016. I just stumbled across it. I was going through my phone. I thought, God damn, that's a good picture. I put that on and went, not me right now, let's be honest, but still, I thought I'd share that one. But when you compare it to the physique, and it's not about physiques, but if you look at Cyril Garn, the size of the guy, the man looks like he's carved out of stone. The point I'm making is that's a natural heavyweight. Jones has gone up and he's a heavyweight. He's going to weigh in at what he thinks 245, 250, something like that. And that's obviously he's a big man. But you can see he's put on the pounds a little bit. How is that going to affect him? I think he'll be fine. We've said this many times. But let's just get right into this. I mean, if Jones can take, that's the fight. And it's like so many fights. Can Islam take down Volkanovski? Can Jones take down Cyril Garn? Well, probably, yeah. And what happens, Anthony?
Yeah, if he takes him down, Cyril Garn's in for a rough night. He really is, especially if it's fairly easy and John doesn't have to really get into a second and third attempts to get those takedowns. Because there's some things that John is going to have to deal with. He's going to have to get used to moving for a long period of time at 250 pounds. It's just he can say it all he wants, and I've seen him post about it that he feels great. He's strong. He's explosive. He seems like he feels like he's carrying knockout power. But he's not gonna. He says he's moving like he does at light heavyweight, and that's just not the case. You don't gain. You're not gonna fight 50 pounds heavier, or 30 pounds heavier, if we're being honest, and move exactly the same way. So you're just not. And so he's gonna have to manage his output a little bit differently than he's used to having to do. That doesn't mean that he's not going to have a higher pace than most heavyweights, because I still think he's going to. But if Cyril Garn isn't competitive in the wrestling or the wrestle-ups or any kind of wrestling, it's going to be a short night for John Jones. I think the Cyril Garn gets stuck on his back. He just that's where he's going to end the round at. But I don't suspect we're going to see a lot of doubles and singles. That's not really how John wrestles a lot. It's going to be the clinch fighting against the cage, which is what John did to me and was able to be extremely successful. He was able, rounds 4 and 5, he was really successful wrestling against the cage with Reyes. He held DC against the fence for numerous rounds in the first fight. When John decides he wants to grind and start winning rounds, that's where he's going to end up fighting at.
Okay, it turns out that Darren the Gorilla Till is here. So this conversation, we can continue that later. Yes, Darren.
What's up, brother?
I can't hear a word you're saying, bro. You got to unmute yourself, bro. I nope, still don't.
I won't even mention.
I might. Can you see me down? I'm in a hotel. I've got crap Wi-Fi, and I'm kind of freezing up. Am I frozen for you?
Yeah, you're frozen. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to deal with it, lads.
No problem.
You're the man. Thanks for joining us. Bit of a weird time for you right now. I mean, I guess we'll just let you do the talking because everyone saw the news that you were no longer a part of the UFC roster. And, of course, probably a lot of speculation, probably a lot of questions for a lot of people. They want to know what's going on with the gorilla. So, what's going on with the gorilla?
I just decided, mate, to just... I know I spoke with Hunter and the guys at the UFC. This is after my last fight, and, because Hunter's been on me for a long time, like the past 2 years, like ever since I fought Whittaker, and he's like, you know, he's always on me hard. He's like saying to listen, you know, we do believe in you, you're going to go all the way, but like, we're sick of you being injured. Like, we're just not putting up with it. This was like for 2 years going on, and, you know, I'd always promise him, I'd be like, yeah, I'm okay now, I'm okay. But like, obviously, I just haven't been okay for like 2 years. I just haven't really serviced my body. So after the last fight, I like spoke to him. I was like, Hunter, listen, I was like, you know, I really need to get my body right, but I feel like I need to do it outside the UFC. No, I feel like I need like two years off to just go and focus on something else for the time being and, like, you know, sort of take my tension away. And he was like, well, listen, he was like, think about it, but, you know, we're not in the habit of, like, bringing people back to the UFC once they've left. And I was, in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, that's all good and well, you saying that now, but I'll get back, like, when the time's ready. So we spoke back and forth, and then obviously the other day it come out that, like, I don't know if it was the algorithm or what, like that they cut me, but obviously they, you know, they sent me release papers because, you know, I obviously asked them if I could be released, and that was it. Then the news just went viral. My phone's been nonstop ever since, and it's like a new little chapter until I go back there. So, yeah.
Darren, are you planning on taking, are you going to take fights outside of the UFC and other organizations, or are you just going to completely take your oars out of the water and just focus on getting healthy, getting healed up?
I think it'd be disrespectful. I've got a good relationship with Hunter and Dane. I think it'd be disrespectful for me to say that, oh, I'm going to go and fix my body and then take fights outside the UFC. Even though I've, like, the past 2 days now, I've had some fucking crazy offers to fight on at the shows. Like,
have you really?
Yeah, I've had some, like, everyone texting me and all the managers and all stuff like that. Like, there's someone wants to give you this or that. I'm like, okay. So, in my mind, it'd be quite disrespectful to Hunter and Dana to do that. Whether I do it or not, it's a different thing, innit? You've got to think of yourself and money and that. So, I'm probably not going to do that. But, like, this is the thing. Like, I'm striking capable, you know. I can strike all day. There's nothing wrong there. It's just as soon as I start inputting the MMA, my knees just buckle under me. There's just nothing left there no more at the moment with them. So, I think it's time to just get them right and really service them and... In the best way, and I feel like I'm going to do that now. So that's the plan.
I've got a question related to that in a minute, but the main question that I want to ask you is, that's why I called you yesterday. When I saw the news, I was, you know, obviously I didn't know any of this stuff, what you just told us, you know, that you'd asked to be released from your contract, etc. And I was scratching my head. I was like, what the hell? Because you're so popular and people love you, you know, and you are so exciting. And last time out against Dreekers, it was fight of the night, right? I believe, or you got a bonus anyway, right? So I guess the question I'm asking you, Darren, are you all right? Is everything good, mate? Do you know what I mean? No, that's because that's all I want to fucking know. Do you know, because everyone loves you, Darren. You bring it every time. Do you know what I mean? There's a reason why you're so popular. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You fight like a fucking warrior. Do you know what I mean? And you bring it every time. People love you. So I think that's the main thing that we want to know. Do you know what I mean? How is it in there, mate? How's everything upstairs?
I'm okay, yeah. I just... I felt like it was just the right thing to do, to ask to be released at this point in time. Like, you know what I mean? I know... I'm 30, I'm fresh-faced, I'm young. I've fucking hardly any hits in the sport, but my body's took the hits, you know, with the training. So I just feel like it was the right choice. And I've got a close person around me now, and he's helping me. And I just feel like it was the right move right now, Mike, honestly. And in like 2 years' time or something, when I'm 32, what, I'll be back in the UFC, I know that. That's still a goal. But I'm just going to execute a few other things now, and they're going to be big things as well, so... We'll see. But yeah, I'm as okay as anyone can be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it? It's tough. It's a tough old sport, man.
It's a tough role. Sorry, Anthony.
No, it is.
It's hard.
It's so hard, man. I think that you're one of the few guys that's kind of wearing it on your sleeve a little bit so everyone can see the struggles. The rest of us are just pieces of shit and just drink it away behind closed doors and no one else sees it. But what are you going to spend? I know as fighters, like we got to have something to focus on or the wheels fall off. You know, like I've had my issues where when I'm just spinning my wheels and I don't have something in front of me or something to focus on, I kind of emotionally, mentally start to fall apart a little bit because I think as fighters, we have to have a direction we're headed. If without having that for a couple of years, what are you going to focus your energy on, your time on? You're going to build a company or you're going to build it. Like what are you going to focus on like in your day in, day out type of actions?
As I said, Anthony, I'm sat in a little box room right now because of a week when I'm training, I don't really stay home with my wife and the kids because it sort of interrupts their sleep and their schedules and stuff. So I live about 10 minutes away and with my uncle, so it's just a small room. And to be quite honest with you, mate, I have a lot of time to think and I am one of them guys, I'm an overthinker. It's probably a bad thing, but I've got a 2-year plan in my mind now and I feel like it's going to be a fucking unbelievable plan and I'm going to execute it to the most I can. And so that's it. I mean, I don't want to say too much about it, but I'm going to make a truckload of money. I'm going to probably do a little striking match or two because that's my forte. And then hopefully by then I'll have figured out this fucking rupture with my knees and stuff and I'll be good to go.
But there is a plan and a goal. You got something you're going towards.
Listen, I wouldn't have asked this big. How many guys go to the UFC and say, release me? Like, how many guys actually do that? Some of the guys, when they're on the way out, like, let's say Nate wanted to be released and stuff like that. But there's not many guys who do that. And I've had a lot of time to think about my decision. And that's why I was happy when Hunter actually said to me, said, Till, think about it, because it's a big decision, you know, like, think about what you're doing here. And I said, okay, Hunter, I respect that. Give me 2 weeks, like, just think. Yeah. And I've thought of the plan, the route, the path. And, I've got, like, a full plan in place.
Well, that's the main thing, Darren. You're at peace with it, and it's your doing. It's your decision, you know what I mean? So wholeheartedly, we hope that it all works out. And you make a ton of money and you come back and you smash everyone's fucking head in because that's what we want to see and that's what you're capable of because it seems like I'm giving you a bloody pep talk. You know, when we were talking at the Airbnb after your last fight, because everyone knows and anyone that can't see the potential and can't see what you're capable of, they're fucking blind. You know what I mean? And the UFC see that as well. That's why they were talking so considerately to you and you know, and trying to, not warn you, but just say, you know, really think about your consequences because you only get one career, you know. So that was, I respect Dana and those guys for that. All right, well, you're good, you're happy, and we're going to see something soon, I guess. What else is going on, mate? How's everything else?
I was out in Thailand training there, and I'm home now. So that's it, really. I'm just training every day still. And, That's my main goal, focus and everything now. So even all them little details that I once never did as a fighter, I've got to even step it up more now because I don't want to be this guy who just leaves the UFC and has, let's say, one BKC fight or something and that's it. Forgot. I want to make a fucking massive bang, which I can. I'm one of the top names outside the UFC now and then come back and, as you just said, fuck shit up. That is my plan and I'm going to execute it whether people believe in me or not. So I am focused.
Man, as soon as I heard and you know, Michael and you know, the BYM guys are messaging back and forth after it kind of came out, the first thing I thought, I was like, I bet Bare Knuckle is just knocking Darren Till's door fucking down. Oh, they would love you.
I've had, there's three major organizations there who, I won't say the names, but the what they've said to people who've come to me is just like, I'm hot property right now. Everyone wants me. So, but as I said to you, everyone knows inside the sport what kind of guy I am. I'm probably a little bit of a maniac, but I've got me morals and values and respects to me. So I probably wouldn't do that to Hunter and Dana now after releasing me, just go off and farm another organization. Like, you know, I wouldn't do that. I'm a respectful guy. So whether people think they're respectful or not, they've always been respectful to me. So I have to give that same energy back.
100%. And they've always been respectful with me. You know what I mean? And I think that's a side that people don't realize. And I know you feel the same way, Anthony. All right. A new company we are partnering with is Innovative Extracts, and they are giving an exclusive discount to our listeners. You can receive 40% off your first order by heading to their website, www.ie-cbd.com. Now, Innovative Extracts is a veteran-owned company, a CBD company located in Pennsylvania that offers a full lineup of CBD and THC products. They have their own farm where they use organic practices to grow the hemp. They have a lab on site to process the hemp into a high quality CBD oil. They partner with GMP certified facilities and use third party labs to ensure all of their products maintain the highest quality. This is the best value on the market, the highest quality CBD at the most competitive price. We're all interested in relieving stress, aches, pains, improving sleep. These guys have some products that helps with all of that. And let me tell you, they work fantastically. Their products will help improve sleep, improve your mood, reduce anxiety, and give you relief from pain, inflammation. They have a wide variety of products to suit your taste, tinctures, gummies, creams, vapes, whatever you need, they have got you covered. So to get 40% off, go to their website, www.ie-cbd.com. Use the promo code MMA at checkout. And as I say, a huge 40% off. John Jones this weekend then. What do you think about that, Darren? What do you think? What do you think? The big fight this week.
I know. I'm just his biggest fan, mate, honestly. I can't say nothing else. He's just, for me...
Sorry. My mind went blank now. I'm sorry to interrupt. It is what I wanted to say. It is what I wanted to say. My mind went blank.
Oh, you are terrible at this.
No. But you're... This is what people love about you, Darren. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is real honest and raw. Because there's a side of you where you're always talking shit and you're being silly. And you're talking about hell on his fucking nose, fucking his wife and stuff like that.
He hates I know.
But deep down under that, you're a sweet, kind, sensitive little soul, Darren, just like all of us.
I love that, mate.
Yeah.
But, I think why I've always been one of the biggest stars outside of being a fighter, just because whether I'm meant to say it or not, you know, people's in the background, like he'll say, you can say this. I'll always say what I feel has to be said and is right to be said. So let's say the UFC, they cut me up beyond this podcast saying, yeah, I got cut by the UFC, I'm good at that. That, you know, I always have to give a truthful account of myself and things that I believe have happened around me. And there's two sides to every story in this, so, you know, I think that's why I'm probably a fan favorite. I just give an honest account no matter what.
Yeah, I think that is what draws people. One thing that I can say about you that I can't say about a lot of other fighters is I've always known where I stand with Darren Till. I don't walk into a room and think, man, I don't know, did he hear something I said or is he mad at me about something? Like, if you're upset or you're not good with someone, everybody knows it. You got to respect that.
I think especially with reporting as well. Like, I've said this to some reporters as well. Like, me and Ariel's beef's different. Like, that's a joke. But, like, I just hate the way fighters and stuff get offended when a report, like, DC will give, like, sometimes comments about, like, fighters, and fighters will get pissed off. And it's like, I just feel like that's their job. Like, if Mike said something about me or you said something about me, it doesn't offend me, because you've got to give an honest opinion on fighters and fights and stuff like that. So I don't understand why we get offended. It doesn't mean that Anthony Smith or Michael Bisping hate that until it's just they're saying something about a fight, they're giving an opinion on it, and that's it. It goes no further. So, so that's it with me. I just treat it like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's literally our job that we're getting told to talk about these things, and we can't. It's never from a personal standpoint. I don't know about you, Anthony, but I've never once gone, oh, this guy's a bit of a dick, so I'm going to I'm going to make him look bad. I'm going to talk bad about his career and stuff like that. And I don't think anyone in their right mind says that. But as fighters, as I said, you are sensitive. I'm sensitive. I used to see it backstage, you know, I'd be warming up for a fight, and on the weigh-in show the pre-show, they'd predict me to lose or whatever. And I'd be like, that guy's a prick. You know what I mean? Can't help it. Anyway, right. John Jones, Cyril Garn, who's winning this weekend, Darren? Come on.
John Jones, mate. He's the GOAT. I'm a little bit biased. No, man, I'm just a big fan of him, mate. Even though he's fucked up a lot, which he has, do you know what I mean? I'm st- I I don't know. I feel like everything just boils down to his fight IQ. It's just so high out there, and you know, okay, he might not train the hardest, he might not live the most regulated life, but that's probably why I probably consider him a goat even more, because I feel like he's a bad guy trying to show us all that he's good, and really he's just a fucking bad guy, and
somebody, I spent all day at the Apex yesterday doing some interviews and stuff, and I think it was Aaron Bronstedt, might have said it. Someone said it. There was an interview a long time ago. A reporter asked John Jones, are you a bad guy trying to be good, or are you a good guy that's trying to be bad? And he stopped and he thought about it for a long time. He said, I'm a bad guy that's trying to be good, you know? Wow. And I think that's very honest of him, you know?
I think that sums up John Jones perfectly. Yeah. I think he's doing everything possible to just keep the boat from sinking all the time. And I honestly don't know that John Jones would be what he is today without that other person that's inside of him. I think that that's what fuels him. I've told this story a bunch of times. There's this guy I used to train with. Other stuff aside, he'd been in prison. He'd had some addiction problems. He'd had some personal life problems. But he was a monster when he would fight. Like, he was just a savage. One of the most exciting guys I've ever seen fight. Then he got clean and sober, stopped drinking, got his life together, found a wife, and then was fighting. And he can't fight. He can't fight anymore at all. He sucks because, like, his life is clean and together, and it's affecting his career. I really think that John Jones kind of needs that monster a little bit inside of him that makes him who he is in the octagon.
I've actually got I have to, like, obviously be regulated for my. I've actually got one funny story that's similar to that. When it got announced for me to fight Cowboy Cerrone, obviously my breakthrough fight, that's when I first started, like, dating my girlfriend, now Laura. And, you know, the honeymoon period and everything's perfect and you've got jitters and stuff like that. Because I've never had, like, many girlfriends. We're always just fighting, aren't we? So it was like 4 weeks before the Cowboy fight. So I was in good shape. I was looking good, but I was just so in love with her. And I remember every night I was, like, staying around and stuff. And then on a Friday, Saturday, be like, come on, should we do something? She's like, yeah, okay. So we go out for food, and then we ended up for a few nightclubs. And I'll be honest, like, 4 weeks before I fought Cowboy, I was pissed out, blacked out in nightclubs, and, like, I went out there and gave the performance of my life. So, like, I've never told it before, but, like, it's fucking true, man. And, like, she was looking at me, like, through the week, I'd be drinking, like, cans of coke. I'd be like, yeah, I'll be fine, don't worry. And I went out there and I just gave that performance. So, like, I mean, I've never done it since, but I did do it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need to go back to that then. Getting on the last fight week.
Fuck off, mate.
Come on. Well, I'll take you out. I'll show you the ropes, Darren.
Listen, me and you've had enough crazy nights out.
Come on.
But listen, I feel like that's John Jones' identity. I feel like he's the bad guy who drinks and goes crazy and fucks people up, and that's it, innit?
I always say this, though. I think for all of us here, and probably the majority of people on the roster, you need that little bit of wildness. I mean, at the end of the day, we're stepping in a cage in pretty much our underwear, and we're going to fight another man. So you got to have that little mental switch, you know, and everyone's a little bit psychotic in their own way. Even George St. Pierre, who's the most clean-cut guy ever, he's a goddamn psycho behind those eyes. Let's be honest. He's a maniac, you know what I mean? And you need that, and we all have it. And some people control it better than others, and some people, like John, sometimes let it get the better of them, 100%. You know, sadly.
I mean, I've heard stories of GSP, like, in training camp, and how he likes to cut loose a little bit too. So I've always thought, well, if it's good enough for GSP, it's good enough for me.
Let's get on it, boys. Let's hit it hard. Come on, Vegas, baby. All right, Darren, listen, we'll let you go, mate. Really, we've got to give a shout out to Block Asset, of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Obviously, that's something that you're very involved with. You're a founding partner of Block Asset, and no doubt that's going to be having a lot of your attention. So what's the latest with Block Asset? Anything to announce?
We just got that Miami card there in Masvidal Burns. So we're doing, like, an NFT holders party for that. I'm going to be doing some other exciting stuff announcing. So, I'm sure we'll see you down there, Mike. So,
I don't think I'm going to that. I've never been to Miami in my life. Everyone tells me. Yeah. Everyone tells me it's amazing, Anthony. Yeah, have you been?
I've never been to Miami. So if you guys need someone to go with you, you guys just let me know.
Bro.
Let's cut loose. Bro. Let's cut loose. Let's go.
We're going to cut you loose. We're going to cut you loose. Darren, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
That takes balls, you know what I mean, to jump on and talk about your feelings. And stuff. So I appreciate it. Love you like a brother. You know that, Darren. I'll see you later. Soon, mate.
Take care, Darren.
Take it easy.
I love talking to that guy.
He's just so real.
It's so real. It's so refreshing. There's no bullshit. I don't have to like wonder like, okay, how much of this is true? How much of this is not? And I had a couple other questions, but like, it was really not things that I was wondering. It was things I seen in the comments and all the other bullshit. And I think if any of that stuff had to be brought up, I think he would have said something. So I just left it.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's why I was able to just stop and go, hold on a minute. This is what I wanted to say, because it doesn't feel like a formal interview. It's like you're talking to a friend. And I just realized this whole time I haven't had my headphones in. So if there's feedback, Harrington, on top of everything else, on top of the freezing, on top of the orange face, on top of the bloody echoing of my sound, I'm going to smash your head in, Harrington. I'm coming for you.
There's no feedback. I haven't heard any at all. Okay, and for everyone listening, the sound has been perfect. So you might just have to listen to the audio only. Or if you want to just stare at my pretty face, you can do that too.
Oh, it's a pretty face. It's a beautiful face. All right, so official pick. Yeah, listen, I am telling you right now, there's a real possibility that John Jones can get knocked out on Saturday night.
Yes, there is. I 100% agree with you. John's got a chin. He's got a chin.
For sure.
He is durable. He's got a dog in him. What I think is going to be more surprising to John is I think he's going to get touched a lot. And that's not something he's used to. I think that Cyril Gane plays the same game on his feet that John plays. But I think that he's been doing it at this weight longer. And I think that just pure striking wise, I think that Cyril Gane, if they were just striking, I think that he's about as 50-50 as you can get as John Jones has ever been. So I do wonder if how long John is going to play this striking only game before he starts mixing in takedowns and clinching. I think he's going to be uncomfortable quickly.
Every round starts on the feet. We know this, but you got to remember, and we all know this, but consider that this isn't, and with respect, a Derek Lewis or a Tito Avasa. Mm-hmm. He's not a lumbering, classic heavyweight, big guy, a little bit out of shape, going to fucking knock your head off if he connects. That's not what we're talking here. Cyril Gane's beautiful on the feet, undefeated as a Thai boxer, moves so well, switches stances, always on balance, very, very fast, knows how to use his weapons and his range, you know, and he's a true heavyweight, and he's got knockout power. I saw the finish of Tito Avasa the other day on social media. Tito Avasa was coming at him, you know, very aggressive, and it was like two steps. He pivoted beautifully. The footwork was amazing, and he 180 degrees, spun everything around. Now he was in the driver's seat. Tito Avasa was up against the fence. Boom, right hand. Oh, just punched the laptop. Right hand, sat him down, and then followed it up. And it was a thing of beauty. It really was, you know, and that's what the man's capable of. I do have John Jones winning. I do. I do. If you had to put a gun to my head and say who wins, I'll say John Jones. But it's like a... There's a definite threat of a knockout for John as well, though.
100%. And I had the same thing, Mike. I think that John is just – he's too well-rounded. He has too many different ways that he can win. If he's uncomfortable – can John be competitive in the striking? For sure. What I don't think is I don't think John is going to be threatening enough on his feet to worry Cyril Gane. I just don't think that – the power's there. Cyril's been in there with heavy-handed guys, big kickers, the guys that are really, really scary on their feet. Your Derek Lewis, your Junior Dos Santos, your Tito Avasa. I mean, he's been in there with heavy hitters. I don't think that John Jones has the power to really back him off. So I think that John is going to have to check down. He's going to have to start clinching. He's going to have to wrestle. He's going to have to start being nasty, fight on the inside with some elbows. And even the threat of a takedown is enough to change how this fight goes. So I do have John Jones winning, but I do think that Cyril Gane is it's going to be competitive, and I think it's going to be a close fight.
I'm excited to be there as well. You know, T-Mobile Arena. I was just driving past it before. It's a thing of beauty. just a drive by. You know, there is one cool stadium. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. All right, let's just talk about Fitbod real quick. Fitbod is the app that's custom workout routines for you that is personalized to your goals, your fitness levels, and available equipment. It learns from your previous workouts and adapts as you improve so you can keep the momentum going all the way into the next year and beyond. So, Fitbod, look, listen, sometimes you go to the gym, you're not sure what to do. Fitbod will take care of that. Sometimes you haven't got that much equipment. Sometimes you've just got a park or a field, or you're at home, or you got a gym. Whatever the equipment you have, Fitbod will have a workout for you, and you can learn the new movements the right way with over 1,400 high-definition demonstration videos. And a full year of Fitbod is less than the cost of a single session with a personal trainer. So you've got no excuses. You have no excuses whatsoever. If you want to work out, if you've hit a plateau, if you need inspiration, then you need Fitbod. All you got to do to join this or subscribe is go to fitbod.me/believe. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/believe. Looking to spice up your routines? Go to fitbod.me/believe. As I say, over 1,400 high-definition demonstration videos. You'll be working out like a maniac and be the best version of yourself. Join Fitbod today. fitbod.me/believe. Should we get a little bit of herringbone on? Should we see what this man is doing at the moment?
Yeah, herringbone. See what this guy's doing.
What's going on, boys?
I'm all right. Am I frozen up right now? Am I okay? What we seeing?
You look good to
me. You're all right now.
All right. Okay. I'm very orangey. That's bothering me. But it's one of those. It's a low podcast. It's a low quality podcast today, boys. And we apologize.
Hey, we got one out.
We got one out because we were this close to saying screw it. Yeah. We're like, we toyed with it. We had it up there. I'm like, oh, this is pointless. If I'm freezing up, you know, and I think I was making an excuse in my mind. I'm like, well, this is going to have a negative effect. People are going to unsubscribe. They're not going to want to watch this garbage. Guys, should we just forget it and go meet at the pub and have a beer, Darren? And I'm Anthony, and I'm starving. I've been eating a goddamn thing all day. But enough of that. Harrington, what's the latest with you?
Not too much, man. Just same stuff, different day. Just, you know, yeah.
How's this baby thing coming along?
Dude, it's good. She's been having she's been like waking up with nightmares. The baby started moving around inside her. So I don't know, dude. We're getting like right down. Like, we got to pack the bag tonight for the hospital just in case.
Pack the bag, buddy.
It's real now.
Yeah. Throw us a story then, Harrington. And for the love of God. You know what I mean? I can't see right now because I'm not at home in my usual setup, but there was some garbage in there, mate. But so pick a good one.
All right, let's see.
You know I say that every time, just to
push. Of course. And there, half of the time you're right. A Newcastle fan got a tattoo commemorating his team's win in the Caribou Cup on Sunday, right? Awesome. Great day for Newcastle, except that Manchester won 2-0. And now this guy has a tattoo on his leg for the rest of his life.
Hold on. Are we talking about Newcastle United, the Premier League football team?
Yes, sir.
So what's the Caribou Cup? I've never heard of this.
So it's like a lesser cup, right? Like a
All right. So it's another. I just never seen that. So when I saw it in the notes, I thought that must be a bloody. Some American Newcastle team.
No. It's So there's like there's the league championship, the whole nine, right? But this would be the first time they won a domestic cup since like 1985. So it was a massive deal that Newcastle was just in the final, and this guy jumped the gun, went and got the tattoo, and he is going to be living with that for quite some time. He said he's not going to get it removed.
He's a bloody idiot.
People do that all the time. Like, I see it all the time. Anytime there's a Super Bowl every year, there's people that are, you know, guys are fans of their team, and they're like, you know, the Raiders 2023 Super Bowl champions. They get it at like the beginning of the season.
And they're willing it into existence. Yeah,
and then it never happens.
I mean, you've got to be a pretty big fan to get a tattoo. You know, I mean, this sounds very braggadocious, but I've, a couple of people on Instagram have shared, they've got like pictures of me tattooed. They've got my face tattooed on them, and it's just like, I'm sorry, and I appreciate that, and I am flattered, very much so. But I'm also kind of creeped out.
Anytime that I see, you know, lots of people get Rogan, who get his face tattooed on
him. A lot of people have Rogan, yeah.
A lot of Diaz tattoos, a lot of Nate Diaz tattoos I see. And I always see that and think, man, I wish I was cool enough where someone wanted to get my face tattooed on him. I've had a couple people send me pictures of they've gotten my logo tattooed on them before. There's a guy, one guy had my logo tattooed on his hand. And then there's actually a guy from the UK that I know that got my logo tattooed as well. So
nice.
No portraits yet though, Mike. I'm pretty ugly though. You don't want this ugly mug on your body.
One day. Got to give a shout out to Little Mick, my dad's mate. He's got a picture. There's actually me tattooed on him. So well done to Mick. He's a massive MMA fan. He's got me. He's got Rampage. He's got loads of fighters on him. All right. So we're going to talk co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko. I interviewed her yesterday for my YouTube channel, so check those out, guys. But Valentina Shevchenko intimidates me.
Why?
She intimidates me because she's so awesome. Do you know what I mean? She's just like so perfect. She's so well-spoken. She's so thoughtful. She's very, very intelligent. She's a Russian super spy at the same time. Brian just put that in the chat. What's up, Brian, by the way? I hope you're okay, mate. And you know, obviously she's the goat. Nothing to do with that. I don't mean anything to do with physically intimidate, but mentally she intimidates me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm giving you shit about it because she makes me very nervous.
Yeah.
I've had to interview her before once, and I almost felt like she was judging me for asking her questions. I thought I had a great question, so I asked the question, and she just looks at me. Well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you want me to think?
And she's so nice and so respectful as well. She really is. Like, she was so warm and polite to everybody yesterday at the Apex. Obviously, she's cutting weight. She's getting ready for a big fight. She's doing loads of interviews, one after the other. But she was so cordial and polite with everyone. Mm-hmm. She does this a lot and stuff and bows at everyone. It's so nice, you know. But, yeah,
same thing. She taught me how to sign my autograph on T-shirts.
Oh, really? That's cool.
I did an autograph signing with her, I don't know, a couple years ago. And
it's a pain in the ass signing the shirts.
It's first world problems. It's hard to sign a T-shirt because the fabric catches on the tip of the marker. And it's really hard to do.
The T-shirt moves with the pen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You end up with a squiggle. I've got a technique.
I didn't have any technique, but I was messing them all up. So she taught me how to do it by myself where I can hold it myself. And then sign my signature and she went and had someone from the UFC get like one T-shirt and she held the line. She was like, all right, here's how you do it. And like gave me her little technique. I've been using that ever since it sounds stupid, but it's hard as shit to do.
It's so hard. That's why sometimes, again, first world problems to the max. We sound like such douchebags. People get my face tattooed on them. And when I'm signing T-shirts, yeah, it's so difficult, man. But I would say pull it apart as much as possible. Make it all nice and tight and a little squiggly diggly. Yeah. But when I'm asking her questions, I feel like she's in a match. This guy is so stupid. This guy is very, very silly. You know, and then she's probably seen me doing the Shevchenko dance that I did at Fox Sports years ago that does the round sometimes. She's probably like, right. Oh, this guy's a prick. But she's so awesome in every way. Alexa Grasso, also awesome, nice, polite. 4-fight win streak. What do you think, Mr. Smith?
Well, I think Alexa Grasso is one of the cleanest boxers in the division. It's really fun to watch her strike it. I believe it was Macy Barber she fought, and I got a lot of respect for Macy's kind of athleticism and just her aggressiveness, and you know, she just is really mean. And Alexa kind of put it on her, and so that was really kind of when I realized how tough overall and not just technical she is, but Shevchenko's a big mountain to climb, man, especially with not a super high-level grappling ability. I think Talia Santos has kind of the style that you're gonna have to need to really slow down Shevchenko. You're gonna have to put her in a box. And I just don't know that Alexa Grasso has the physical ability or the technical ability to box in Valentina Shevchenko. And just Talia Santos was able to get to kind of half-ass shots, pull her legs in, push her up against the fence, and she was just physically imposing on Valentina, which nobody's been up to this point that wasn't named Amanda Nunes. So I just don't know that Alexa Grasso's physical enough. Take all of her skill set. I'm not even talking about that part of it. Just physically, I don't think that she has the ability to just kind of bully Valentina around.
Agreed. And you know what? I asked her yesterday. I said, because she referred to Erin Blanchfield, who a lot of people are saying should be next or soon for a title fight. She referred to Erin Blanchfield as a puppy. Right. So yesterday I asked, I said, oh, I saw you refer to her as a puppy. I said, that's like the most like polite trash talk ever. And this was her response. And again, this is how intelligent she is. She says, no, this is not an insult, but she's like a puppy. She's like, you know, when you see someone, a little puppy dog, they don't know anything about the real world. They don't know about the life. They don't know about the dangers. And right now she goes in there in the octagon and she's with these little girls. And, you know, she has her way, but she doesn't know really what the life is like. You know, you see the puppy dog, but then sometimes you see the dog and the pit bull and it's covered in scars. It's been for years. Right now, she is just a puppy. I did not mean this in any disrespect, but right now she's a, and I thought she was like, oh, that cute little puppy. Mm-hmm. But no, when she went into it, she had a real good analysis of why she called her a puppy. And yeah. I just, again, I was like, that's fucking.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's genius. Do you know what I mean? So she's very smart. And yeah, Alexa Grasso is going to give her a good fight, you know, and I hate to write somebody off, but that's what we're going to do. She's not going to beat her. She's not going to beat her, you know. She's a great boxer. And I really enjoy watching Alexa Grasso fight. I do. But look at Shevchenko, someone like 79 kickboxing fights, undefeated in boxing.
Without a dangerous wrestling, grappling, grinding part of your game, it's just, I mean, if you gave Alexa Grasso some of Erin Blanchfield's grappling and molded those two together, like maybe we'd have a different conversation. But
and it's I'm really blowing smoke up bloody Valentina Shevchenko's ass here. But here's another piece of a trivia. She'll make history Saturday night if she wins, because the new belts, every time you defend it, you get the ruby in the belt. She's only got one more ruby to get. Saturday night, she'll be the first one to do that. And she'll have a full set. I mean, how cool is that? So below every ruby, it has the opponent, it has the date, the event.
Yeah.
I mean, what a...
She'll be the first one to fill up the first... She'll be the first one to fill up her belt. And she'll have to get another belt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
That is so cool, isn't it?
That is crazy cool. Yeah, that's cool.
As a piece of sporting memorabilia, even if your own career or some one day someone else is going to own that long, you know, when the time comes that we're all dead and buried. Do you know what I mean?
That'll someone be hanging will somewhere. Own
that. And what a piece of mixed martial arts history to own one day, because that's going to happen, you know? It's crazy. Yes,
it is. I don't know that people at home understand how wild that is, but that's insane. That's insane.
What an achievement.
What an accomplishment. Yeah. Like, once the new belts came out and then you filled up every ruby on the belt, and now they're like, all right, now we got to get her another one. That's crazy.
What would you rather have? A belt with 8 rubies or 8 belts? It's a tough one, right?
That's a tough one.
That belt with the 8 rubies is so special. Do you know, you've got 8 belts. I've got 2 belts at home. They're exactly the same. Off of one of them scratched a foot because the guy that painted my house, I put it under my bed when they were painting the room because the house was upside down. And then for some reason, it got turned upside down. So it was on the floor and he just pulled it out and like, all the dust in him. So it's covered in scratches. I was so mad. I was so annoyed.
Did you lose your mind?
I didn't. I didn't say anything. You know, thank God I kept it together.
That would have been rough. I think probably the 1 belt with the 8 rubies.
That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got Valentina Shevchenko winning. I do think Grasso can get to a decision, though, because she's very talented on the feet, but I think she'll get dominated. And who knows? Maybe the referee will stop it at some point. But I do like Grasso. She's fiery. What else is on there? Harry Herringbone and Brian. Let's have a foreshow. Let's have a foursome, boys.
Ooh.
Let's get Dirty Mike and the boys on.
Ooh.
What's up, Brian? How are you, bud?
What's up, Mike? How are you? I'm good.
I'm good, man. I'm good. What about you? Hi, Harrington. We've already done that.
Harrington.
What else is on the card? What's before the co-main event? Oh, Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Then Jeff Neal.
And Jeff Neal.
I made a $30 parlay to take all the underdogs to try to win $11,000. So that's where my money's rolling. Everybody who's an underdog on the card.
Oh, the whole card, not just the main card.
Oh, just the main card. Just five fights.
Real quick, main and co-main, what do you guys think?
Oh, Jones and Shevchenko.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm betting against it just in case.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like you win like $6 if you bet on them. So,
Shavkat Rakhmonov, this guy, what is he? I think he's 16-0, eight knockouts, eight submissions. He's phenomenal. Jeff Neal, great fighter, tough guy, great hands, great performance last time out against Vicente Luque, the way he finished him towards the end of the fight. But Shavkat Rakhmonov is something special.
Yeah, he's special, man. He has no holes in his game. He has no weak areas. He is fucking ice cold. Like, he's got ice water running through his veins. I said this a long time ago, and I'm going to stand by it. I don't think that Jeff Neal is much of a fan of Jeff as I am and his team. You know, I really like his coach. I still think that we see a day where we have Rakhmonov versus Khamzat Chimaev for a title. I really do. And I don't know that either one of those guys lose on their way there. So I just got a lot of respect for that guy. And Jeff Neal, you know, sometimes he tends to take moments off in fights. A lot of times he'll have a real fiery first round and then he'll kind of take off round two, you know, and his coaches acknowledge that at times where he's got to keep him focused in the second and third rounds. Rakhmonov's not one of those guys you can do that with, you know? So I just think he's too good everywhere.
On the BT Sport preview show, I predicted Jeff Neal to win. But I only said that because the guy that I worked with on there, Nick Pete, Adam and Nick, shout out to them two. Great guys working with them this week. Nick Pete's like the biggest fanboy of Shavkat Rakhmonov. Like, it's insane. And it's so much so, he's now the official representative for mixed martial arts of Kazakhstan. Like, he had to cover Shavkat's press today for Kazakhstan. He doesn't speak a lick of Kazakh, do you know what I mean? But everything that he says gets like translated, but like really poorly translated. And the way it was translated sounded like he wanted to do some very sexual things to him. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely hilarious. So that's why I picked against him. But yeah, you know, listen, I like Jeff Neal. I think he's going to bring it. But yeah, I've got Shavkat all daisy. What's your plan this week in Vegas then, Anthony?
Man, we actually have a really cool thing going on tonight. It's that round table we keep talking about, but it's in the MGM, like in the middle of the casino, live in front of fans.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know what you got going on later on this evening. We got that going on, and then I think me and Weidman and Stipe are going to dinner tonight.
Oh, nice.
So
thanks for the invite. I appreciate it.
I literally just found out about it. I was literally in the process of inviting you, Michael.
No, I'm literally, I'm going to say no, because I had dinner plans with Audie, my manager, but I actually texted him this morning and said, listen, I'm not going to do that. Because when I woke up today, because I had to do a pre-show and stuff, I had to do some stuff at the Apex. My voice was almost gone when I first woke up. I had a few drinks last night with the BT Sport crew, you know, nothing crazy, but just, you know, very civil, but a few drinks and maybe a bit of a sore head this morning. I'm like, you know what? If I carry on like this and I have another one tonight, because it's fucking Vegas, let's be honest, I'm going to end up with no voice in the morning. I'm going to do a crap job. I'm going to sound like shit. So I text Audie. I went, Audie, listen, I'm sorry, I'm going to cancel dinner. You know what I mean? Not being, because we all know what happens. You know what I mean?
We know how this goes.
We know how this goes every time. Come on, just have a glass of wine. And then another.
I'm just going to have me one Moscow meal with Chris and Weidman. And then I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back to the hotel. I'm going to do some more study work and, you know, just really brush up for Friday shows. That's my plan.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. But Friday night, I've got nothing on Saturday apart from a post fight show. I'm not going to lie. Friday night, I'm gonna go and enjoy myself with the boys. So maybe
let me be one of the boys.
You're one of the boys, literally.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Stay tuned. Beep, 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 beep. Michael Biss being arrested in Las Vegas. Jones ain't got shit on me. What should we do? What else? What else have we got in the notes, Harrington? Anything worth anything big? I mean, it's UFC 285. That's all that matters really this week.
There's two more fights on the main card, or I have one big news story.
Well, we got Bo Nickel. I like Jamie Pickett, but that's a tough fight for him.
Yeah, it's a tough fight. I've honestly kind of avoided talking about it too much because I don't want to feel like I'm just shitting all over Jamie.
Yeah.
Because I do like him. So he is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's got some grappling ability, but he has at times struggled with wrestlers. I think that he's not in a good place. And I don't want to say he's not a good place in his career. He's kind of teed up to have the moment of his life. But he's also not have, he doesn't have any momentum going into this either. You know, like he's, you know, he's not on a 5 or 6 fight winning streak. He's not been smashing anybody and just relatively unknown. He's had some ups and downs. He doesn't have a lot of momentum. Bo Nickel is a freight train running downhill in terms of momentum. It's a tough matchup.
You know, when you speak to Bo Nickel, he's a very, very intelligent man. He really is. He's very thoughtful and he's very together, considering all his success. He is obviously very confident, but he's not arrogant with it. He's just a real world confidence because he knows what he's capable of. And there's nothing wrong with realizing that and knowing that.
Right, today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, then definitely check out BetterHelp. There's never been such a focus on mental health as there is right now, but still some people, they refuse to take the steps that's going to better them. Now listen, BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and it's free to switch counselors if you need. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you can communicate with in just under 48 hours. You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So it's the perfect way to do therapy if you're very, very busy. You haven't got to drive over to the other side of the town. So listen, if you know, well, you know, I mean, maybe you don't know, but there's probably something bothering you. If there's something that you've got to take care of, do it with BetterHelp. Okay, new testimonials from users are posted daily, in fact. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they are now recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So do the right thing. Take care of yourself. Go to betterhelp.com. That is betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. One more time. That is betterhelp.com/believe. 10% off your first month. Talking of Jamie Pickett, though, I was chatting to him yesterday. He was with your boy, Chris Weidman. That's who he's been working with.
Oh, good. Funny.
Yeah, yeah, he's been training with him for this camp. So Chris has been helping him out a lot. And I was just thinking, you said you're going out for dinner tonight. Stipe, you, Chris Weidman. You know, it's fight week. There's UFC fans everywhere. Imagine you people listening. You're in Vegas. You're going in for the fights. You go into a restaurant and you look over and there's former champ, former heavyweight champ, Stipe, Weidman, Anthony Smith. People are going to be freaking out.
Well, we could just add Michael Bisping to that mess and just really be popular then.
Oh, God, so popular. So
I'm
popular.
Just saying,
so,
I mean, one meal's not going to hurt you, Mike. We'll let you go home afterwards.
All right. Well, I would love to come and hang out with the greatest, most defendingest heavyweight champion of the world. Have you asked Stipe? How does he see this fight going down? Have you managed to pick his brains at all?
Stipe's a man of few words, so you can kind of get a vibe on how he feels about something just by asking him the question. So it's like, hey, Stipe, what do you think about this title fight? They're going to fight.
Yeah. He's awesome, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
what a guy.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
That's what you love about him. He's just such an everyman, isn't he?
Yeah, if he wasn't being paid to be here, he'd probably not even watch it.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck, dude. He cares about his kids, his pool at his house, his job, and washing his Dodge truck.
That's a man with his priorities in order. Let's be honest. You know, I find I have MMA consuming far too much of my life, but it is how I earn a living. So I guess.
Yeah, me too. I can't get away from it, but he you can't get him into it unless it's attached to a check. He doesn't care.
Yeah, well, God bless him. And that's a believe in me, God bless. Harrington, you said there's some breaking news, did you?
Yes, sir. Former opponent of yours, former, you know, a verbal sparring partner of Anthony Smith, Luke Rockhold, signed a deal with BKFC to fight Mike Perry in April. It's going to be at 185 pounds. Also added to that card, Chad Mendez versus the Underground King, Eddie Alvarez, at 165 pounds.
Yeah, you know, look, listen, I mean, you know, Anthony, they fielded offers your way. They have a lot of money. I don't know where they get it from, but they're obviously generating a lot of money. Mike Perry, Luke Rockhold, I would say initially that's a terrible fight for Mike Perry. And I thought that when he fought Michael Venom Page in Bare Knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And he bloody beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because Mike Perry is a dog. Luke Rockhold is a show pony. You know what I mean? He's so talented, tall, looks good, got the physique every man would kill for, you know. But he finds, I think sometimes literally he's showboating a little bit too much. My parents just a dog, man. He's just a dog. He's just a vicious pit bull that don't give a goddamn.
I think this is a terrible matchup for Rockhold. And I only say that, again, I'm not trying to get into this thing with Rockhold. I'm not trying to shit on you, Luke. I'm just saying Mike Perry is the guy that will go in. These are five rounds, these bare knuckle fights. Where for two rounds, you'll
see. 5 minute rounds?
No, they're 2 minute rounds. No, I'm sure.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
But
you imagine how messed up your face would be 25 minutes of bare knuckles.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
Flesh would be hanging off your face.
Yeah. I suspect that this is a type of situation where Mike Perry goes in and gets sliced and diced for two or three rounds, but you just can't get him out of there. I can see that happening where Mike is just in Luke's face for the first round, the second round, and Luke's making it look easy, and then until it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just never thought Luke Rockhold's never just – he's never struck me as a bare-knuckle boxing type of guy. His style's very pretty. He's very technically sound. At times he's been defensively irresponsible. He's had some issues. I don't even know if it's a chin issue. I think it's a defense problem. He doesn't strike me as a bare knuckle boxer.
Brian just chimed into the notes here. He says the record for the longest bare knuckle fight is listed as 6 hours and 15 minutes, one fight, for a match between James Kelly and Jonathan Smith fought near Fairy Creek, Victoria, Australia, in 1855. Wow, 17 rounds. You know, the thing is, Mike Perry, as I say, he's a fighter's fighter. You've got to respect the man. Luke Rockhold, yeah, as you say, doesn't strike you as a bare-knuckle type of guy. And even if he did, you've got to look at the skill sets. Luke's kicks are a massive part of his game.
It's a huge part of his game.
They're eradicated. Luke's top game, his pressure when he gets down on top of you, his jiu-jitsu is phenomenal. That's completely eradicated. His knees in the clinch, all eradicated, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's literally fists. And Mike Perry's going to get on the inside. By doing that, he's going to take away the reach advantage. And Luke, with respect, has been a little bit chinny ever since I've been going in. Sorry, Luke. I'm messing.
Well, I don't know. I do think that Mike Perry could have some problems because you are allowed to clinch fight.
Without question,
that's going to give him some issues because Luke is a big, strong, powerful guy. So he can't use some of that wrestling ability to grab on his neck and pull him and turn him and rip some punches. I don't think Mike Perry's smart enough to give a fuck. I think he just throws bombs the whole time. And that's not a diss to Mike Perry. I love that guy. The more technical he gets, the less I like him. I want the dog-fighting, street-brawling, shit-talking Mike Perry. Bring it on. That's what I want.
And the reason why we're saying that about Luke, talking about Mike Perry and not so much Luke Rockhold, of course, we don't need to give you all the accolades of a Luke Rockhold. He should be expected to win this fight. He's the former world champion. He's way bigger. Mike Perry is a welterweight. Mm-hmm. Rockhold's twice his size almost, you know, and he's got all the skills and he's polished and everything. So we don't need to say that because I think everyone knows that, you know, but the storyline here is Mike Perry, the man's got a set of balls on him. I'll give him that. He has got a set of balls. Herringbone, whatever that was.
Yes, sir.
Was. What have we got? What are we doing? What are we talking about, Harrington?
Patty Pimblett says he's going to need surgery. It's going to keep him out until later in the year. So the Drew Dober fight is dead, but he did say that he would be interested in a Jared Gordon rematch.
Okay, I'll go.
Go ahead.
I wasn't going to really bring this up so much, but he kind of made me feel bad a little bit. I don't know where he did. He did an interview somewhere, and he had said that
it was GSP or something.
Well, he didn't give a shit about. He didn't give a shit about what the fans thought or the media, but he was really hurt by his peers, other fighters, Joe Rogan, DC. I don't think he mentioned you specifically, but said other fighters that have shows and kind of spoke on him losing to Jared Gordon. It seemed like he was genuinely hurt by that. So it kind of made me feel bad. Like, well, shit, I'm not trying to hurt the dude's feelings. I just give him my honest opinion. But he did say that he watched the fight back and wasn't as dominant as he felt it was in the moment right away. So I had a lot of respect for him saying those things. Takes a lot to kind of look at, to be as brash and as loud about winning and it being so dominant as he was, and then being able to walk it back and say, okay, well, look, I was in the moment. I was feeling like it was more dominant than it was. Once I rewatched it, it wasn't as great as I thought it was. Okay, I'll rematch him. So I thought he showed a lot of maturity there in those couple comments.
Without question. And then sometimes it's that self-reflective moments where you really grow as a person, you know, because I do draw similarities with a moment in my career with Paddy. I was coming up, I was getting a lot of attention. I was like the English guy, just won the Ultimate Fighter and, you know, doing tons of media and stuff like that. And then I fought Matt Hamill and it was a ridiculously close fight. A lot of people thought that he won and I acted like a total tool afterwards. I did, because in my mind I thought I was going to wipe the floor with him, and I didn't. I scraped by a decision that a lot of people think that he won, you know, and I did the same thing, you know. I didn't give him his credit, didn't give him his due, acted like a total tool bag, and I cringe now when I look back and I see that. I mean, I don't watch it, but if I did, I would majorly. And you know, he was going through a similar thing, you know. Listen, he's hot. He's a hot prospect. He's a hot property. Everyone wants to talk about him. You know what I mean? So he's a young man, you know, it goes to your head a little bit. You think your shit doesn't stick a bit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But that's all right. No one's perfect. You know what I mean? Because he's not a bad guy. Far from it. He's a good dude. You know what I mean? He just, maybe he just got carried away with a bit of the momentum or whatever.
Yeah, but it happens.
Come on, man. Come on.
Look, he's got a million.
We're human goddamn beings.
He's got a $1 million Barstool deal. He's the hottest goddamn thing to you know, men ages.
Mixed martial arts in a while.
Yeah, well, and especially in men ages 16 to 28 or whatever that was. Like, if Paddy Pimblett walks into a building, there's a huge pop. He is popular, and he's a millionaire, and he wasn't not that long ago. So I'm not giving him too much shit. I only wanted to mention it because I thought it was a cool moment.
Of maturity,
and self-reflection and growth. And I just wanted to, I was really quick to be critical of him for acting like an ass and potentially losing that fight, really. But I want to be just as quick to say, you know what, that takes balls to be a man to say, listen, maybe I wasn't as dominant as I thought. I'll run it back. And my feelings were kind of hurt by people saying that. I think that takes a lot of balls. So I want to give him the credit for that.
And rightly so. I don't think they're going to do that though. I mean, probably Jared Gordon would love to get it back.
Yeah,
sure, probably. Paddy would like to get it back as well, you know?
I mean, we had Jared on here, you remember, like right afterwards, and it's just, you know, it's, I like Jared Gordon. I hope that he gets a big fight, you know, a big name, a big opponent to continue to climb Jared's his way up. Yeah, he's awesome.
With Jared when he came on. He's so honest and real and truthful. Amazing. And just
and
like,
his story
was good.
But he's not putting asses in seats on a wide scale, you know?
No.
So Paddy's going to get a name for sure.
Yeah,
or at least someone that's popular that's going to sell. That's just how it is.
Yeah, it's business. No, you're absolutely right. You know, but it's going to be tough times ahead for Paddy, though, regardless, you know, for both men. For anyone in the lightweight division, we'll wrap this one up shortly because we've got busy schedules. And if I am freezing up, I apologize, guys. But, you know, we're trying to keep the content up for you. We know you guys get mad.
I just have to listen to this one, guys.
Oh my God. What was I going to say? What were you going to say, Anthony? You say something.
I don't think I was going to say anything. I was looking out at the Raiders stadium here.
I love it every time I drive by.
Yeah, I love it. It's so goddamn cool looking. It reminds me of just like a all black Mercedes with some chrome trim. I don't know why. It just makes me think of that. But anyways, I want to go to I want to make it outside a little bit, Mike. We get so goddamn busy and we're always stuck in these boardrooms and studios, and I want to spend some time outside. So I'm going to go outside when we're done here. I'm just going to walk around a little bit, I think.
I'm going to go get a haircut because this stuff is out of control.
Me too.
I'm scheduled at a bad time later on because I got to do a post-fight press conference thing and a thing with John Jones. I'm not going to make it. So when I'm done here, I'm going to walk over, get the old short back inside, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure I'm looking good. All right, well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the fights this weekend. If you have a question, then you know what to do. Send it into bynpod@gmail.com. It's a good part of the show, so please, we couldn't do this part without your interaction and without your input. So without further ado, the Harrington should show up right now and finish that sentence.
And if you're watching, I'm sorry, if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial, check out over 20 great shows on the network.
Alrighty. All right. Righty-tighty, as my son Lucas says for some reason.
Well, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
Oh, is that what it is? Or righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
Yeah, it's just like a little trick of the trade. Maybe he's training to go be a carpenter or something.
He's training all kinds of stuff.
So the first question we have here today is from Scott Knoll.
Oh, look at this production quality. Okay.
Oh, it's better than ours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, just had a couple quick questions. How long into your training did you start making physical contact? And what was that like for you guys? I've been doing Muay Thai about a year and a half. And up until recently, been mostly pad classes, which I do enjoy. But I just started light sparring, and I have one big issue. I am a sensitive bitch. I frankly feel bad hitting people. This is especially true for the face and sparring with women who are way tougher than I am. Well, here's my question. How do I overcome this mental hurdle and progress further with my training? Love the show. Thanks a lot.
And again, that was like a bloody TV commercial.
That's a TV show. Like,
oh, he said side effects include, you know what I mean?
It's like we should hire him.
Medical things, you know?
Yeah, he's selling medical devices for sure.
Yeah, he is for sure. A little medical device seller he is. Yeah. Right, so, I mean, how long into my training? I mean, always from day one, from when I was 8 years old, we put the boxing gloves on, and that's what kept me coming back.
Yeah.
In terms of answering your question, you're right. Not everyone's comfortable with that, potentially hurting somebody. And I often talk about Callum because people always ask about fighting, and he could definitely do it. He has the physical ability without question. I just don't know if he has that meanness or that nastiness. My wife assures me that he does. But I guess what you got to just realize is that you're not trying to hurt one another. You know, when you're sparring in the gym, yeah, listen, sometimes it might get heated, but generally you're competing. It's competition. It's how you're getting better. And as long as you're not being a proper dick about it and really trying to hit them hard, really trying to knock them out, then you're helping each other out. So try and look at it from that perspective.
It also comes down to your training partners too. It's a whole lot easier to punch somebody in the face when they're beating the fuck out of you. So, you know, if you got to train with grab a couple higher level guys that are better than you, it'll take you about a minute and a half to not feel so bad about punching.
Yeah. That is actually a really good point. That's absolutely genius. Funnily enough, if you're getting the shit kicked out of you, you're going to want to get a bit of revenge.
It's easy to get, when you're sparring, it's a whole lot easier to be motivated to get some get back. That's for sure.
Brian, just put him back on the screen. I want to see what he looks like again, because we're going to play a game. Let's guess what this guy does for a living. Brian, let's have a look at him, if you can, unless he's probably teed up the next question. He's like, for God's sake, Bisping.
What do you think?
He could be like an insurance salesman.
No, he's an insurance salesman. They don't got time to train Muay Thai. He's whatever he does, it's probably not a whole. He's not working 80 hours a week, that's for sure.
I was going to say a dentist, but if he was a dentist, he would have mentioned it. For sure. It would have said, as a dentist,
I'm a doctor.
I really wonder about, you know, the damage that I'm doing to people's teeth.
I think, like, I bet he's a nursing recruiter.
A nursing recruiter? Outside the box thinking by Mr. Smith.
I don't think so. Those guys make crazy money. They got pretty free schedules. They can work around their schedules pretty easily.
Yeah.
They got to talk really well. He's got the nice setup for his Zoom.
He's got a hell of a setup. He's got better lighting than me. That's for damn sure.
He's a nurse recruiter. I hope he sends a video in and tells us what he does.
Yeah, no, for sure. Please do. We're going to play this game going forward. Brian, next question, please.
All right. So this one is from Mr. Michaels. I'm not going to try to spell it or pronounce his first name. It's right there.
Borich.
Greetings from sunny Manchester. Just have two questions. Number one, I'm about to do my final medical school exams, and I wanted to get into the medical fighting world to try and be a doctor in the corner. It's something I'm really interested in, and I don't know where the best way to try and go about it is, if you have any recommendations. And secondly, I have signed up to do an amateur boxing fight, amateur boxing training here in Manchester. They're about 8 weeks of training. And just wondered if you had any advice for that as well. Best wishes, boys.
Well, thank you for the question. And shout out to Sonny Manchester.
I think that guy's a medical school student.
Oh, what gave it away? Was it the glasses?
No, it was just his
personal. Just a hunch. So yeah, you could tell. He's got medical student written all over him. How do you get involved and be an official or a doctor or a medical type of guy in the mixed martial arts world? That is a good question, and not something that I potentially know.
Yeah, I
would assume. I would assume what you would want to do, my friend Michael. I think right. There'll be local MMA promotions in your area, small level ones. And they always need doctors and physicians and people like that. I would reach out. I would reach out to them and say, I'm interested in working your event. And you could even say, I'll do it for free just to get started and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they will bite your goddamn hand off. But that would probably be the best advice that I could give.
Yeah, reach out to the athletic commissions or whoever oversees that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just ask. You know,
yeah, and then in the UK, it's IMAF, International Mixed Martial Arts Federation, mm-hmm. kind of oversees a lot of the amateur stuff. Well, it does, it oversees all the amateur stuff. So they'd be a good person to reach out to as well. Mm-hmm. Mark Goddard, the referee, he plays a heavy role in that. So there's Nick Fees, actually, who I was talking about before. So yeah, reach out to IMAF and start approaching promoters. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. What would you do, Anthony?
That's exactly what I would do.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah,
Brian, would you do?
Oh, yeah, well, you guys said. I mean, who's going to argue with that?
Yeah, you can't.
You work for free.
Oh, people will take you.
Yeah.
Slave labor.
So this last question we have today. Sorry about the plane, guys. For the last question we have today, it's from Josh Brisbane.
Josh Brisbane.
Okay.
What's up, Michael and Anthony? Since you guys only answer questions from people who have accents, I thought me, Josh Brisbane from California, I'll mix it up with some funky, fucky, fuck accents so I'll get the attention of all you knuckleheads over there. Anyway, my question to you two is, I teach self-defense. I just had a seminar last weekend in Dana Point, California. But my question to you two is, what do you think the best discipline is? I teach situation awareness. I teach striking and I teach jiu-jitsu. But to you guys, what do you think is the most well-rounded self-defense or MMA discipline to benefit self-defense? And also, since you always like wacky questions, have you ever had to take a shit in the middle of a fight? I remember watching Oscar De La Hoya when I was a wee lad. And I remember he had a stomachache. He had a little tumble of bubble guts. And I just want to ask you guys, since you like the wacky ones, if you've ever had some bubble guts during one of your fights. All right, I'm driving. Not the safest time to ask a question. But I'll catch you guys on the flip side. Peace.
Right. I just love that
guy. I love that guy.
I love that guy as well. But I got to say, if you're going to go to all that effort to ask a question, ask one that's not been fought before. Because we've had that question many times now. Right? And I've gone full on Northern Ireland now.
Yeah.
Right? But that question has been posed to us several times now on the podcast. But Anthony, in your opinion, what would be the most well-rounded art that you could single out from the mixed martial arts, so it is.
I think it's wrestling. I think it's wrestling.
Disagree.
I think it's why?
Disagree.
What do you think?
Jiu-jitsu, bro. Brazilian jiu-jitsu for sure. Listen, the question wasn't what would be the most effective and the best base to have, but in terms of self-defense.
Oh, in self-defense. Yeah, for self-defense, probably jiu-jitsu. I was thinking, he was saying, I thought he meant like which, I guess I thought his question was which martial art would be the best base to have like going into it. I would think wrestling, because you can kind of dictate where the fight happens, when it happens, and you can learn. It's harder to learn that than anything else.
And I agree.
But self-defense-wise, jiu-jitsu for sure. Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew Tate, I was going to fight Andrew Tate with a knife, with only using jiu-jitsu.
He was. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to do when he's in prison.
He's getting visited by demons. I don't know if you saw this on his Twitter. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, not bad enough to where he's not
able to. Everyone loves Andrew Tate. Everyone loves Andrew Tate. I'm sorry, I can't get past it. The fucking cigars and the fucking all the stuff. Come on, we're talking grade A dildos, boys. Yeah, we're talking a grade A dildo. I'm sorry. You can all flame me. Come after me in the comments.
He's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag of the highest bloody degree. And they're all lost little souls that looked
at him. It's not the top G, the top D. Top douchebag.
Oh, top D. Top D, I like that. I like that. Come after us in the comment sections if you think you're hard enough. He's a tit.
He's in prison.
And he was talking about on Twitter the other day. I just followed him recently because I wanted to see what all the vibe was and what all the fuss is over. And he was talking about how material objects aren't the be-all and end-all. And if that's what you're searching for, then you're going to come up short in life. And I wanted to respond with, what color's your Bugatti? Because that's what he said to someone when they came after him talking shit. He's like, what color's your Bugatti? Anyway, shout out Andrew Tate. Hope that Romanian cell's treating you well. And if it's all bullshit, then I hope justice prevails.
Right.
In all seriousness. Should we wrap this one up? This was fun.
This is a good one. Yeah, it turned out I didn't know how it was going to be with the Wi-Fi issue. But the sound
Have I been frozen up or not too bad?
No, you've been pretty frozen.
Freezing up.
But it sounds fine. It sounds fine. So as long as the listeners are aware at the beginning, we told them you're going to freeze up. They're fine. Just have to listen to this one.
Sorry, guys. They didn't want to look at me anyway. Just put like an old that picture that I shared on Instagram the other day when I'm all ripped. Just put an image of that onto this.
Just put it.
Sorry, Brian. That's me. That's me. This is Bisping when I freeze up, staring at my phone, flexing like a maniac.
Right. We got one out, and it's good. I had a lot of fun. I'm glad we got to talk to Darren too.
100%. Shout out, Darren. Shout out to him for that. Very honest and raw. Like always, he's a raw dog. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. Back Monday, wrapping up and talking and dissecting about UFC 285. What's going to happen? What's going to go down? What's going to be next? It's going to be epic. You don't want to miss it.